You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
A third of the bill two ways, so you guys each take on 12%. Does that seem fair?
But thankfully, you don't need to be a genius to do your own taxes. Because TurboTax's Explain Why feature helps you understand the math behind your refund. Intuit TurboTax. Taxes done smarter. Feature availability varies by product and platform.
President Obama will meet next week with GOP House Speaker Paul Ryan and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
They'll discuss a range of legislative priorities for the upcoming year. And the president is certainly hopeful that they'll be able to build on the momentum of the bipartisan budget agreement that was reached at the end of last year and discuss areas of cooperation for the year ahead.
White House spokesman Josh Earnest noted that it will be the president's first private meeting with Ryan since the Wisconsin Republican became speaker. The president will soon send Congress his proposed budget for the next fiscal year. The ringleader of the group that took over an Oregon wildlife refuge will appear in federal court today. Ammon Bundy and seven other defendants will be in a Portland courtroom for detention hearings. Bundy and his followers are accused of threatening community members and calling on the public to bring weapons to their protest. The armed protesters occupied the Malheur Wildlife Refuge in Central Oregon from January 2nd to this week when the defendants were arrested during a traffic stop in which one protester was shot and killed. This is USA Radio News.
Welcome to Staples.
As Staples guy, my office goes through ink like it's water.
Well, we have the ink you need, and with our 110% price match guarantee, Staples always has low prices.
So we could go through ink like water. We could bathe in the stuff.
That'd just be weird.
Staples, make more happen. Now get a $15 coupon when you spend $75 on ink, or $20 when you spend $200 on toner.
Offer valid on in-store purchases only, ends 1/30/16. Price match plus the 10% difference discount valid at checkout for items from retailers operating online in retail stores or products sold and shipped by Amazon. Ends 3/26/16. See store or staples.com for details.
An American journalist recently freed from 18 months of captivity in Iran is reunited with his colleagues in Washington, as we hear from USA's Chris Barnes.
Freed American hostage Jason Rezaian visits his co-workers at the Washington Post.
Each day since my release, I learn more about the efforts to gain our freedom and continue on in support of our reintroduction into the world. There's so many people to thank.
Rezaian getting a standing ovation from fellow journalists. He spoke briefly, telling them that for much of the 18 months he was in prison, his captors told him the U.S. government wouldn't lift a finger for his release.
My Iranian interrogators told me that the Washington Post did not exist, that no one knew of my plight, and that the United States government would not lift a finger for my release.
Rezaian joined by Secretary of State John Kerry at the visit to the paper's offices in Washington. In Washington for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
An Alabama family plans to sue Disney, saying the sight of a young boy's snake bite sent his grandmother into cardiac arrest. Attorney Matt Morgan says an elderly woman saw her 8-year-old boy get bitten by a snake at the Animal Kingdom theme park in Orlando in 2014, and she died of cardiac arrest 2 days later. Disney says the non-venomous snake that bit the boy was a native species and not part of the zoo's display. A yacht belonging to billionaire Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen is being blamed for destroying a protected coral reef in the Cayman Islands. Allen was not on the 300-foot boat when its anchor chain wrecked 14,000 square feet of the reef. The boat's crew said they were just following instructions. For breaking news, we're at westernjournalism.com. I'm Melody Burkett.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Good afternoon. Let's hear about the weather in Flemington and surrounding areas, Hunterdon County. Well, there was supposed to be about a 20% chance of snow. Today, very light snow, and for most of us, it didn't happen. We had a few flurries near Round Valley Reservoir, but nothing to speak of. And tonight, it's going to be partly cloudy, low temperature, about 17 degrees, but tomorrow should be a really very nice day. Sunny, and we're talking Saturday, sunny, high of about 38 degrees, so some of that snow will start melting. So be careful if you have water that can get into your basement, you know, take care because it's going to start. And sometimes it melts underneath the top layer of the snow, so it's hard to see. By tomorrow night, again, mostly cloudy, and into Sunday, it's mostly cloudy. High on Sunday of about 46 degrees, so it's warming up. And by the way, by Monday, although it's only partly sunny, the high is expected around 50 degrees. This is pretty amazing for this time of year. And of course, Monday will be the 1st of February. So the program, It's the Law, and I'm Pat Smits, and I'll be back as soon as we give you a brief note from one of our sponsors.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Well, good afternoon. Friday afternoon, the 29th of January. By next week, it'll be February. So this is our last program in January. Hope you stay tuned, because what I want to talk about today, one of the things I want to talk about is the report from an arbitration advisory committee and a proposal for a final offer arbitration pilot program. Lots of words. What does it mean? Well, in New Jersey, the courts are pushing, and I will say the word pushing, alternative dispute resolution. And here in New Jersey, we call it complementary dispute resolution. There's a recognition that the courts are just overwhelmed with cases, and what's happening is the courts are trying to promote alternative ways for people to resolve their cases. And certainly most of us know about mediation. We've heard about mediation. Arbitration, of course, is another alternative that people can stay away from court. And there's certainly a lot of pros and some cons to it. But let's talk about this notice that came out to the Bar Association as the recommendation of the Supreme Court's Arbitration Advisory Committee. And they're recommending a pilot program of final offer arbitration. Now, what does this mean? Well, a pilot program means that the program will be started in certain select counties. In this case, it'll be four counties, and to study a minor variation of the rule which calls for mandatory non-binding arbitration process. And what this variation has the potential to promote settlements before the arbitration hearing and to foster greater litigant satisfaction in the arbitration process. So that's their goal. And what they're, again, as I said, they're trying to provide one more service as contemplated by complementary dispute resolution. So now what this recommendation is, it's called a final offer arbitration, or an FOA. And it requires the parties to the arbitration to exchange offers and demands before the hearing and to submit their final offers to the arbitrator. And then the arbitrator is bound to select one of the final offers to make as the award. So in other words, each side provides an offer, and then they're going to try to stay, you know, on the face of it, they should try to stay reasonable. They should be reasonable offers, because if their offer is so unreasonable, the arbitrator will pick the other offer. So this goes back to 1983 in New Jersey, when mandatory non-binding arbitration program was implemented for certain case types. And it's generally been successful throughout the state in resolving cases. And of course, it saves litigants a lot of money, and it saves counsel's resources and the court's resources in the process. So the this committee's study of implementing the final offer arbitration pilot program began with a request conveyed to Judge Grant from Judge Sabatino that this idea be considered. And the process is a familiar one. It's most commonly the process used in addressing, for those of us who are sports fans, Major League Baseball player team salary disputes. And it's also part of the New Jersey Employer-Employee Relations Act, governing arbitration of certain public employee salary negotiation disputes. By the way, if anyone is interested in how arbitration works in baseball, there is a book by Jeff Monhot called Baseball Arbitration and ADR Success, and that's in the Harvard Journal of Sports and Entertainment Law, volume 4, page 112. That's in 2013. So that in the baseball arbitration, this is for salary arbitration. It employs a format commonly known as high-low arbitration or final offer arbitration. The player and team each submit a single number to the arbitrator. Then after a hearing during which the player and team each have the opportunity to make a presentation, the arbitrator chooses one of the two numbers as the player's salary for the upcoming year. So, sounds fairly simple. So this is what is going to, and of course the advantage is it could foster settlements before arbitration hearing, and generally results in greater party satisfaction because the people have in fact been able to kind of do it on their own. And it's going to be implemented on a test basis and for randomly selected cases. And it's going to take place in 4 vicinages. Now, when they say vicinages, that means that some vicinages are made up of more than one county. For example, here in Hunterdon, our vicinage is with Somerset and Warren. So the recommendation is being made because it is said to broaden the resolution toolbox of lawyers and neutrals. And the committee recommended that a pilot program be implemented and studied for 2 years to determine whether or not the court wants to go through with implementing it throughout the state. Now, what the definition of the program is, it's a requirement on both of the parties participating in arbitration and on the arbitrator. And what this means is, in short, after hearing the presentation of the case, the arbitrator is to enter an award limited to accepting one of the final offers of the parties. In other words, if the arbitrator thinks that the award should be higher or lower, it doesn't make any difference because the only thing that the arbitrator can consider is the offer made by each side. So the arbitrator must pick one. So let's say that one party, and in a different arbitration, but one party said, well, they want $150,000. And the other side, the insurance company, says, we'll pay $10,000. Well, unless the $10,000, well, first of all, nobody, the plaintiff would not be going to trial for $10,000. But let's assume that's what they said, that it is going to be valued in that way, meaning that the one side is not going to be reasonable because they're going to say they'd only pay $10,000, and maybe the other side is being unreasonable because they really should be coming in at $50,000. One of them's going to win, and one's going to lose. So this is going to be interesting. At this point, people can select arbitration. There are certain contracts that you're required to go to arbitration. But in this case, only the non-auto and non-lemon law personal injury cases will be selected initially to participate in the program. They also find that it typically works best in cases that involved a subjective evaluation of value. And certainly that would be the case of whether or not the baseball player, whether or not his value is what he thinks it is or what a team might think it is. So that is, actually that's very important. So the the court is going to select the cases. One of the things that, you know, there's sometimes subjective evaluation such as the baseball cases, and then there are other contract disputes that are generally turn on there being sufficient proof of liability or interpretation of an agreement. And we will be back shortly after hearing from a couple of our sponsors.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend. I'm back in the program. It's the Law. Please excuse my voice this afternoon. I'm obviously coming down with a cold. But let's get back and talk a little bit more about this final offer arbitration process. You know, some people would say, well, how unfair that, that arbitrator may think that neither of the numbers are correct, but the arbitrator must select one. Well, one of the things that the advantages of the final offer arbitration, or high-low, is that it fosters settlements before the arbitration hearing. And so that each side really has to become much more reasonable in their offers or their demands. And they found, based on whoever, that generally the results are greater party satisfaction with the arbitration process because they have somewhat greater control over the process. But the main thing is it should make people more reasonable. And the parties know that an unreasonable offer or demand has less chance of being selected for the award by the arbitrator. In other words, if you come in more reasonably, if whatever the case is worth, let's say $50,000, and you're the person demanding the relief and you ask for $150,000, well, if the other side offers to pay $20,000, that may be what the arbitrator selects. So you have to, stay honest. And what will happen is the parties make reasonable offers and demands to each other, and then they'll evaluate what they would receive from the other party and reevaluate their own offer or demand in light of what they expect an arbitrator to award. And so that really makes people work a little harder, but certainly should implement settlements. Now, as I said, they talk about this in Major League Baseball, and they have found that it tends to foster settlements without the need for an arbitration hearing. So, the player in those cases, the player and team each submit a single number to the arbitrator. Now, this is for the person's salary for this next year. And after the hearing, during which the player and team each have the opportunity to make a presentation, then, however, the arbitrator does not. And so the arbitrator chooses one of the two numbers as the players. So they choose one of two numbers as the player's salary for the upcoming year. So obviously a player who's concerned may not try to go for that, slam dunk, because he knows that his playing is not as good as the players on the two other teams. So it certainly worked in baseball, and the question is whether it will work here in the courts. And maybe yes, maybe no, but it doesn't hurt to institute or implement a trial team, a trial, and see how it works from a trial standpoint. Now, what's happening and where are they taking place? Well, the committee, we don't know yet, but the committee proposed Burlington, Mercer, Middlesex, and Union counties. And this was an approach taken with the initial implementation of the mediation program in the late 1900s. Well, what's going to happen is the arbitration staff in each pilot vicinage shall be instructed to select for participation in the pilot program one half of the non-auto personal injury cases, one half of the non-lemon law cases that are sent to arbitration. And then the training for the arbitrators. Well, if that pilot program is approved for implementation, then the committee would develop a short training video, would be presented, and the program introduced to all arbitrators in the selected vicinages. The program, so in each of those vicinages, the program would be scheduled to begin 1 month after the training.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Well, we're back, and after that good spot from NAMI Hunterdon, certainly if you know any families who have children or adults with any mental problems, it's a good organization to contact, and they certainly do a lot here in Hunterdon County. Well, I wanted to also talk to you, hopefully none of you need it, but there's a measure easing expungement. And so this is a bill that was, again, one of the bills signed by Governor Christie on January 19th. So I guess we know where he was on that date, even though some people are complaining that he's not around enough. But in any event, the bill, which goes into effect in 90 days, would reduce the waiting period for expungement from 10 years to 5 years from the date of the person's last conviction, payment of a fine, or satisfactory completion of probation or parole, or release from incarceration, whichever is later. So if someone comes out of prison and they have to make payments, huge payments of fines, or let's assume something more common. Someone goes to court, he is convicted, may or may not spend time in jail, but the point is, as I said, the point is that how long do you have to wait to see if you can get that expunged from your record? And that's the point of this. However, of course, if you're paying fines, it takes some people years to pay fines. So that the waiting period for expungement won't change in certain aspects of it. In other words, if you're arrested if you're arrested and end up going to jail for, you know, a year or less, that will always be on your record. So this bill is to try to see that if you are eligible to get it expunged, then you only have to wait 5 years rather than 10. So that is a pretty significant change. Now, in cases where disorderly persons or petty disorderly offenses, then the waiting period would be reduced from 5 years to 3 years. So you have to be somewhat careful as to, you know, what you're doing out there and who you know. And also, under this bill, a judge would be permitted to order the expungement of all records and video, and video information related to all prior. So we'll be right back. Again, I'm having some problems with my throat today, so please excuse me.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, I'm back. Pat Smith. It's the Law, and we're talking about the new statute that Governor Christie signed into law on January 19th. That will take place in will be effective in 90 days, and it reduces the waiting period for expungement from 10 years to 5 years from the date of the person's last conviction, the date of the payment of the fine, or a few other things that I think you're probably familiar with. So one of the reasons or a basis this is given, is given for expunging and letting people, and the quote here is, expungement offers an incentive against recidivism. It gives people who currently have little choice of finding legal employment the opportunity to leave past mistakes behind them, find a job, and be productive. Those are three important things, obviously, that they're trying to do. So the fact that the matter, it does say, though, that the fact of the matter is the system is working against those individuals who have served their time and want to change and do better. And that's true. I mean, it certainly is going to be much less a problem for those people who are, in fact, convicted of a crime and have to spend time in jail. Now, according to there was a companion bill in the assembly, and the assemblyman who did this actually, they designed specifically for people who are the victims in identity theft. Now, a person who's been the victim of identity theft and who is later charged with committing a crime that is perpetrated by the person responsible for the identity theft can have a judge seal all the records of criminal anything.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Well, I'm trying to find the weather, I'm trying to find the news, and it seems to be blocked, so let's see if I can't pick that up. Unfortunately, it's not. Oh, no, it is. So let's play the news and see what's happening.
USA Radio News with Melody Burkett.
One of the three inmates who escaped from a prison in Santa Ana, California, is back in custody. Orange County Sheriff Sandra Hutchins says Bach Duong turned himself in. Duong and two other inmates have been on the run since escaping from custody last week. They were believed to have cut through prison bars and used bedsheets to escape. A woman who taught English at the prison has been booked for allegedly helping the three escape. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump claims to have raised millions of dollars for veterans' charities last night, but it's not clear who'll be getting the money. The real estate mogul staged a rally last night after deciding to boycott the GOP debate. Meanwhile, Republican presidential hopefuls are battling it out to see who has the better strategy to defeat ISIS. In the debate, Florida Senator Marco Rubio says the world is safer when America has the strongest military. Texas Senator Ted Cruz argues that his strategy is better. He talked about carpet bombing. This is USA Radio News.
For me, it was the big S-Class from the 90s. Beautiful. My friend's dad had one.
The SL. All of the SLs. I've been watching those since I was a kid.
I think the 1971 SC was the first Mercedes that just blew me away.
Everyone remembers the first time they saw one and the day they began to long for a Mercedes-Benz of their own. Well, that day may be a lot closer than you think. With a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz, you can experience the luxury, the unparalleled safety, the performance, and the style Mercedes-Benz is famous for at a price you can afford. Beautiful SUVs, sedans, coupes, and convertibles that are factory certified and covered by an unlimited mileage warranty for up to 3 years, so you can drive without a worry for as far as you like. And during the certified pre-owned sales event going on now through February 29th, you can receive 2 years of complimentary prepaid maintenance and special financing available through Mercedes-Benz Financial Services, only at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. You've waited long enough.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on certified pre-owned warranties.
Hi again, it's Pat Smith. We're talking the law, what's been happening. I've been talking about the new measure signed by Governor Christie to make it somewhat easier to have criminal records expunged. And as I said, it reduces from 10 years to 5 years. Now, let's be realistic. Not all crimes can be expunged. I mean, there's certainly major and the most violent crimes are barred from expungement under the current law. And the new law does not change that. So if there is an offense barred from expungement under the current law, it will be barred under the new statute. But one of the things we have to think about, and I think people, the legislature at least, are realizing, is that there are a lot of young people who could be convicted of a crime when they're 18, 19, or even a disorderly person's offense. And if the waiting period for disorderly persons or a petty disorderly person's offense is going to be reduced from 5 years to 3 years. So that very often young people are involved. They do something illegal, but most of us would say perhaps it's more stupid than anything else. In any event, this criminal record would affect a person's ability for all kinds of things, to secure housing, to get a job, even loans for school. If you've been convicted of a felony, you're not able to get a loan for school. So apparently, as long as you were convicted of a nonviolent felony, you'd have an opportunity to get your case, get it expunged, and go ahead and lead a normal, productive life. So that, there was an assembly bill, companion piece in the assembly, and it was designed specifically for people who are victims of identity theft. And under that assembly bill, a person who's been the victim of identity theft and who is later charged with committing a crime that is perpetrated by the person responsible for the identity theft can have a judge seal all of the records of the criminal complaint. So that's even, better than expungement. And of course, but the new law allows a prosecutor to petition a judge to declare the identity theft victim is factually innocent of the crime. Now, this is really very, very important, and Any of you who have been a victim of identity theft, you're just hoping that there will not be any further repercussions, but there often are. And so, for example, be charged with a crime, fraud, deception, stealing, bad checks. I mean, all kinds of things happen. Credit card charges on credit card fraud. But in what this does now is the person who is a victim of identity theft would not have to wait for 5 years or 3 years for an expungement to pass. And, the deadline to file for an expungement. And they would not have to pay the expungement application fee. What they're trying to do is make sure that victims of identity theft are not victimized a second time by the court system. And also this new bill, the Motor Vehicle Commission has to immediately update its records to delete any information that could have an adverse effect on the driving record of any motorist who has been the victim of identity theft. So there's a recognition, and this bill recognizes the fact that identity theft has become a serious problem, and we need to protect the victims from further victimization. So this is a real step forward, and I think that, I thank the legislators, certainly this was a no-brainer for the governor to sign this law because it gives people a second chance, and not everybody, of course, is going to be able to expunge their criminal records. So it's going to be a case-by-case basis, but it does give that, especially that young person who at 18 or 19 or maybe 20 did something, not a violent crime, but did something that was in fact a felony, and they will not have to go around the rest of their lives with a felony record. Now, there's another case that came out that it was not approved for publication. It was Judge Jones in Ocean County, and he has been writing a number of important decisions, and this is certainly one. I hope at some point it will be approved for publication because it deals with what we call add-on expenses under the New Jersey Child Support Guidelines. And what this court held, Judge Jones held, and he's a trial judge, so this is not a situation where anyone has to follow it. But the situation is such that the court held that when a court increases a non-custodial parent's guideline-level child support obligation with an identified add-on expense, such as work-related child care, the court may further direct as a caveat to the same that the custodial parent who is receiving the increased child support must document and account for the use of such additional funds for specifically earmarked to make sure that they, in fact, are spent for what they were earmarked for. And then the court, Judge Jones, said that the courts may also order parties to engage in annual or other periodic financial reconciliations of the actual funds spent on earmarked add-on expenses. And then if such periodic accountings reflect that a non-custodial parent has underpaid or overpaid his or her court-ordered share of such expenses over a designated period of time, the court may require timely repayment of credits or say that there are arrears. And this is extremely fair. I mean, I have a case and where there was, in fact, an add-on There was no way. It was an add-on for a child care, non-existent child care. It was fraud. There was no way for my client to determine that it was non-existent. And in fact, it went on for years and years. And when the trial judge, who knew all of the facts, he gave a retroactive credit to my client. And so this goes along with the same thing that Judge Jones is saying. And as he said, from a standpoint of equity, a reasonably periodic and documented financial reconciliation should be given and should contain certain information. And that what happens now is that, unfortunately, once this child support includes an add-on, what Judge Jones calls as an add-on, I call it non-child support, that hints simply added to child support. But in those cases, what happens is every couple years there's an automatic cost of living increase. That also gets added on to the, or the, let's say the child care costs are also increased by that percentage. Now it may be not sufficient or too much. And the question now is the appellate division in the case that I had basically said, so what? If it's there, the trial judge was wrong. In the case I represent this client, trial judge was wrong to retroactively reduce what they called child support, even though the judge did not retroactively reduce the child support amount, but simply retroactively reduced the non-existent child care expenses. So this is, I hope that the courts will publish this. What happens is the Committee on Opinions decides whether or not a case will be, a decision will be published. There have been a number of published opinions from Judge Jones. He's really one of the very few judges today who are submitting for publication. But this is, I think, very important because it's only fair that these expenses are paid in proportion to the party's incomes. That's how child support is set up. But the basic child support, these additional expenses are added on to the basic child support. And so I think that this is the way that these cases should be handled. And I hope that there are many more judges who will follow Judge Jones. And as I said, I hope the Committee on Opinions will consider publishing this. There was another case that came out of Morris County, and actually it was approved for publication. It had to do with grandparents attempting to adopt a grandchild. Now, excuse me.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, Celebrant Officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
We're back for the last few minutes of the program, It's the Law. And again, please excuse me, I'm coming down with something, and not only my voice, but, you know, I may have to put you on to something to hear a sponsor so I can cough a bit. However, I'm Pat Smits, and I don't know if I even mentioned that at the beginning of the program. I am an attorney here in Hunterdon County, and my practice is limited to family law matters. And I guess that may be one of the reasons why I was so interested in the case, Judge Jones, which is Lab v. Lab, and it was the add-on expenses for the child support guidelines, because it creates huge problems. And in fact, the way I handle this problem is I will have my clients pay child care costs, for example, directly, so that they don't have this problem with the probation departments. And once they get added on to the child support, it can be extremely difficult. And frankly, the client has to go to court in order to get them taken out of the, for example, someone will have a wage garnishment, and the child care will be garnished as part of it, and then they have to go back to court if their spouse doesn't agree that even though the child is no longer in daycare, no longer has these expenses, they may have to go back to court, file a motion, incur legal fees, or at least have the aggravation of having to go back into court to get that changed. So that's obviously one of the reasons that I think it's important. But there was another case out of Morris County that was a matter of the adoption of a child. And it caught my eye, not only because it was an adoption case, but also, and it was decided, and the opinion was delivered by Judge Lighthouse. And Judge Lighthouse is, she did family law. She's just been one of the stars on the appellate division. I always enjoy reading her opinions, and this is an interesting opinion from a legal standpoint, but also somewhat instructive, because in this case, the appellate division had to review the procedure to be followed when a party requests ex parte relief. Well, what do we mean by ex parte relief? Well, ex parte relief is that a person goes to court and doesn't tell the other side. They go to court to ask for emergent relief without notification of the other side, and it's supposed to be used only in cases where there is irreparable harm, or usually in the family part, it's irreparable harm to children. So this was a case where the appellate division concluded that the plaintiffs, and the plaintiffs in this case were grandparents, that their fundamental due process rights were trammeled. I mean, that's the word they used in the opinion, trammeled, as they were denied an opportunity to be heard prior to dismissal of their complaint with prejudice. So they had filed a complaint for adoption, and what happened is the trial court actually, based on an ex parte application, dismissed the complaint with prejudice. So the appellate division reversed and vacated the order and actually remanded the matter to the assignment judge in Morris County to reassign it to a different family part judge to conduct further proceedings. Well, this is only done if they think that the trial judge really made a serious mistake, because usually cases are remanded to the same family part judge to conduct further proceedings. So that the procedural missteps were the important thing in this case. And in fact, they talk about, and the case talks about, constitutional rights, the right to due process, and the fact that not only the United States Supreme Court, but the New Jersey Supreme Court includes the requirement, and that is in the United States Supreme Court has recognized the due process guarantee in the 14th Amendment, and that includes the requirement of fundamental fairness in a legal proceeding. That's something that we all learned very early in law, in law school, I should say, in our constitutional law class. And so that these protections and our New Jersey legislature have also enacted in our constitution, I should say, they've enacted the same paragraph that protects against injustice, and they want to make sure that everybody's due process has a right to due process. And I think sometimes some people don't think so, but in fact, a litigant in civil proceedings is entitled to a fair hearing imbued with the protections of due process. And due process demands a party be given adequate notice and a reasonable opportunity to be heard. And that's what happened here. The plaintiffs were not given a reasonable opportunity to be heard when their complaint was dismissed with prejudice. So I think that's the last thing I'm going to be talking about today. We'll give you some news, and then we'll be back with the sports guys.
USA Radio News with Melody Burkett.
One of the three inmates who escaped from a prison in Santa Ana, California, is back in custody. Orange County Sheriff Sandra Hutchins says Bach Duong turned himself in. Duong and two other inmates have been on the run since escaping from custody last week. They were believed to have cut through prison bars and used bedsheets to escape. A woman who taught English at the prison has been booked for allegedly helping the three escape. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump claims to have raised millions of dollars for veterans' charities last night, but it's not clear who'll be getting the money. The real estate mogul staged a rally last night after deciding to boycott the GOP debate. Meanwhile, Republican presidential hopefuls are battling it out to see who has the better strategy to defeat ISIS. In the debate, Florida Senator Marco Rubio says the world is safer when America has the strongest military. Texas Senator Ted Cruz argues that his strategy is better. He talked about carpet bombing. This is USA Radio News.
Get the home you've been dreaming of with hundreds of incredible deals from Lumber Liquidators. It's your last chance to get our most popular whitewashed flooring styles 20% off, like Bellawood 3/4-inch solid carriage house white ash and beautiful Pearl City click bamboo. Or warm up your home with 3/4-inch solid pre-finished cherry spice red maple for just $299 and get 45% off gorgeous hand-scraped red oak. It's now an amazing $199. And all butcher block countertops are on sale. Plus, get laminate and vinyl plank from 59 cents and 18-month special financing. Don't miss these unbeatable deals. Visit LumberLiquidators.com to find a store near you.
I'm all about keeping it simple. Been getting the same haircut from the same guy for 20 years. You can't beat simple. That's why the first place I turn to when I need something is Grainger. I don't want one place for my safety products and another for my abrasives. Grainger has over 1.2 million products and the solutions I need to help keep this place running. Grainger. Simple. Simple. Grainger. Get it? Got it? Good. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
The U.S.-led coalition is still assessing whether to expand the ISIS fight into Libya. White House spokesman Josh Earnest noted that ISIS is taking advantage of political turmoil in Libya.
So our strategy in Libya is consistent with the strategy that you've seen us employ in other places, which is to be strongly supportive of ongoing diplomatic efforts to try to resolve the political situation in Libya, while also preserving a capacity to take military strikes where necessary.
Most of the coalition focus against ISIS has been in Iraq and Syria. Earnest said no decisions have been made, but stressed that the anti-ISIS campaign is being constantly evaluated. The White House wants private businesses with 100 or more workers to submit more specific information about how employees are paid. The data would be run through the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. In a statement, Labor Secretary Tom Perez said the government cannot deliver on the promise of equal pay unless we have the best, most comprehensive information about what people earn. This is USA Radio News.
Welcome to Staples.
A Staples guy, my office goes through ink like it's water.
Well, we have the ink you need, and with our 110% price match guarantee, Staples always has low prices.
So we could go through ink like water. We could bathe in the stuff.
That'd just be weird.
Staples, make more happen. Now get a $15 coupon when you spend $75 on ink or $20.